certain town, there were 10 lepers that were standing at the side of the road. They were standing afar because they were pretty much, because of their disease, ostracized from humanity. I mean, their disease was horrible, oftentimes contagious. It left them with flesh that was, you know, whited. Oftentimes the flesh literally dropped from the bone as it began to deteriorate. They had no friends. Often if they did have anybody that they associated with, it was other lepers. And so these people, probably the very worst of the kind of individuals that were stricken, were calling to Jesus from a distance, in order, you know, crying for mercy from him. And he tells them, go to the priest, which was the normal thing for them to do when they'd been cleaned. And as they were going to the priest, they found on the road that they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, it says, turned back to glorify God for being cleansed. And it, notice this little particular thing about him. Evidently, the others were Jews and didn't give God glory. But this Samaritan returned, who had a further ostracization from, you know, society, he returned to give thanks. But notice the Lord's reaction. Just one came back to give thanks? Weren't there nine? How often has God done things for people, even us, and we have not returned to give thanks for it? Yeah, God also appreciates gratitude and thanksgiving. In fact, in every instruction in prayer, a common element is that of thanksgiving. We can praise and bless God just by being mindful of his work, of his compassion and love toward us, not to mention his great patience and mercy on our behalf. Notice Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David says, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Here, blessing and praise is roughly the same, but notice what he's giving thanks for. And forget none of his benefits. Praising God is not forgetting. And notice the things as he lists what he should be thankful for. Who pardons all your iniquities. The pardoning of God is one of the greatest things that we have. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. This is the abyss. This is something that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It has become a convenient repository for souls that are offensive to God. God has sent his Son to redeem us from that position, in that place. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your ears with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. And David's just getting warmed up in that psalm. Need to consider blessing the Father as obedient children, just like the angels do. One of the greatest gifts any child can give his parents is to be obedient to the parents' wishes. Moreover, our parents seem to love it when we made something with our own hands to give to them. My mother, for the longest time, kept this elephant that I made in grade school, with a purple body and a green head. I tried to buy that thing from her. I couldn't, whatever. It was just something precious. What greater gift and blessing can we give the Lord than to make ourselves over in his image? As someone once said, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. What greater gift can we give God than to become like him? In fact, that's one of the things that Paul says in Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God as beloved children. Further, in Psalms 103, David goes on, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. This is what the angels do. to bless God. They are obedient. Bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you who serve him doing his will. The hosts of heaven praise God by doing what he says. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray that the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a third category. Blessing fellow Christians is doing also for Christ. Often in a large family, the older siblings are assigned the task of looking out after their younger brothers and sisters. In this, the parent is placing great trust in the young person. It should be considered an honor and a privilege as well as a great stewardship. We can trust the Lord by looking out for his own, by taking care of his family. He tells us it is the same as taking care of him. When he talks in the parable to the righteous about them taking care of him, they go, when did we ever take care of you? And he says, Matthew 25:37, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king, which is identified as the Son of Man in verse 31, answered and said to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So as we look out for one another, as we take care of even the least in the kingdom, it's the same as blessing God and doing something for him. Even praise is not something we should just say like, praise the Lord. I know in some denominations, that's about as far as it goes. They just go, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As if that's all there is to it. But rather praise God by giving him the glory in all things, especially in the way you conduct your affairs and in your behavior in the presence of your fellow man. They should see God in you. Bless God in your being present at service and in your devotion to worship. Be at every class. Praise him in the knowledge you can attain, in the right thinking you can bring into the world to make it a better place to live and to raise up further generations in his nurture and admonition and care. In your handout, that's where it stops. I'm going to take you a little farther. In this culture of entitlement and people wondering why they're not more blessed, the new facts are that the middle class of the world is now growing and the poor are now better off than they've ever been in the history of the world. Nations we've looked at, third world, are now improving. Their economies are growing. In China, in India, in Africa, South America, they have an emerging middle class. Their economies are beginning to rival that of the United States. The poor in the world are living better now than they ever have in the history of the world. And even though men are trying to get rid of God and put down Christianity, all of this is the effect of Christianity. God blessing the world through his promise to Abraham. It still had its effect. It's now time to start paying him back. During this season, people talk of peace and goodwill and God's blessings. The scriptures teach, though, that the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. We have to put a little something into it. Give God something to work with. I mean, that's the principle that God has given us. He can't justify an individual who doesn't do any work. He can't increase the seed if there's nothing sown. True blessings come from studying and applying our Creator's instructions and commandments. One needs to be proactive with God's truth in order to bring peace, true peace on earth. Peace between men and men, and peace between men and God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Matthew 5 and 9. "These shall be called the sons of God." And his brother adds, "The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." James 3, 18. To achieve peace for ourselves and our fellow man, to make peace with our God, we're going to have to put a little effort into it. We can't just wish, have a season for it, and wish it so. We're going to have to take the time and the effort to make it happen, to work with God every day of the year. Can we bless God? Yeah. When he comes back again on the last day, we can bless him to the greatest of our ability. If we can give him the planet he left us with and give him a strong church that he hoped for when he came to build it. This is what we can do for God. Give him as many souls as possible. First of all, starting with our own. To do the right thing. When God has made this promise, we covered this a couple of weeks ago. He said, if you put my kingdom first and my righteousness, that is, if we work for his effort, for the things that he deems most important, and one of those is his righteousness. We're going to cover that tonight. That means the kind of person you are, to make yourself the best person you can be for his glory. He'll take care of everything else. That's where the blessings flow from his promise. If we do what we're supposed to do, he'll do what he's promised to do. There will be then peace on earth, peace among men, as long as we're all obedient to God. That's where it truly comes from. If there's anything we can do to help you this morning, show you what God's will is, show you what it takes in order to be right with your Creator, show you the things that are necessary in order to, for you to be what God intended man to be from the very beginning of creation, in his image. If you want to commit yourself to the waters of baptism this morning, that your sins can be washed away, and that you can begin a new life in service to him, if you'd like prayers on your behalf, if you'd like classes in order to continue to grow in his knowledge and grace, all these things can be yours this very hour. You just let us know as we stand to sing.